Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 291, part 2, the conclusion to nothing. Doesn't really sound right. The conclusion to nothing? Well, this is the conclusion to nothing. Today is Sunday, May 12th. Happy Mother's Day, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Sunday mornings, I love Sunday mornings, get up, you know, get ready for church, unless, of course, we're going to the lake, which is all summer long. People go to the lake all summer long. They spend their whole life up there mowing the grass and fixing chimneys that fall down and repairing the windows somebody broke in, robbed the place, and stole their motorboat. Oh, yeah, unless we have to go to the lake, then I dearly do love to go to church on Sunday morning, stand there. I just love the choir. I love our pastor. He's such a wonderful guy. That's because you never see him. It's easy to love somebody you don't see. Right? Just have a picture of him there. Well, maybe we can go on an occasional Wednesday, or if we go to Pastor Paul's, it'll be a Friday night. Yeah, maybe once in a while. It wouldn't hurt. God knows I need it. Huh? But, you know, as far as entering into any kind of a battle, any kind of a commitment, call on somebody else, okay? But I don't want to commit myself. The Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord. But people do not want to commit themselves. They will commit themselves to foolishness. But what you do, they think is foolish. To a lot of folks, your ministry is foolishness. To what I'm doing down here, that's foolishness. But real foolishness is not entering in, not committing your life and your ways unto the Lord. And I think a lot of us love the life of ease oh so much. I mean, any kind of an exertion turns us off. Will I have to exert myself? Is there any work involved? And I got a bad back. Huh? I had a guy come down here from court referral. A young man, he was 23 or 24 years old. He had an ulcer. Couldn't do that. He had an ulcer. And he had a nervous condition. He couldn't get on ladders. He wouldn't go outside because he didn't like bees. Huh? Then I had him opening up bags. He says, I have to go home. My back is... These are empty bags. Just opening empty bags. My back is bothering me. I says, young man, you're going to stay here till 6:45. And I am going to pop these bags open and you're going to put them down there. He never came back again. He asked to go to another place. Good, because I don't want to wrestle with that guy every night he comes in here. This is a workhouse. What in the world did you think was going to happen when you come here, young man? Are you hearing this? I can just hear someone saying right now on the radio, well, just like they said then, thank God we're safe. We have passed from death to life, and they're so happy about their salvation. We are part of the royal family, king's kids. We live by faith, but that faith never goes to work. How do you know, by the way, radio audience listening on the tape, how do you know you have faith if it hasn't been through a trial? It's the trying of your faith. Has it been tried yet? Have you tried it? That's like having an airplane say, boy, that thing really flies. It goes 300 or 400 miles an hour. Have you tried it yet? No, but it says it does. Well, you better try it first. Maybe it won't even take off. And anyway, our confession is Jesus did it all, so now we can go into faith sleep. Thank you, Jesus, you did it all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I can go in, but that's faith rest. It's not faith sleep. There are so many zombies walking around. You know what I mean, zombies? I mean, they put these voodoo shows to shame. They just walk around like they're in some kind of a trance. Huh? Oh, I'm having fun tonight. I'm enjoying myself immensely because it's something I've wanted to say for a long, long time. Might have a series of messages like this, like 50, 60 takes. Maybe it'll cause some kind of a stirring in the body of Christ. I don't know. It should be a resurrection of some kind out of the ashes. Maybe the bones will come together and start dancing around. I don't know. Well, our confession is that Jesus did it all. We are secure because of the blood of Jesus, and they know all of the scriptures. And then in the very same breath, they get very, very soulish. And with the flesh, they crave carnal ease right after all those scriptures. I mean, they're not thankful and happy that Jesus did it all. And now they want to do something for Jesus and become a servant because they're no greater than their master. And they don't want to suffer with the sufferings of Christ. But they know all the scriptures. That's like having a kid that knows everything, knows exactly how to do everything in the house and doesn't do anything. Boy, when he does do something, he does it perfectly, but he never does it. And they cry out in their soulishness, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Do you remember them scriptures? And so spiritual self-indulgence is a terrible, terrible monster of an evil, and yet so much of it exists. Self-indulgence. You want to see Christians indulge? Go on out here on a Sunday afternoon after church and pop out there to Perkins or one of them cafes, and man, they just sit in there, eating them great big chiffon pies about this big with a double scoop of ice cream and coffee, and they sit there and they just about tear down everything God has, try to tear down everything God has done in the last 10 years through a person. Well, I just think it's just terrible. And what do you think? Oh, and I think this and I think that. Huh? And they walk out of there like little kids with pie all over their face. Throw a track down, don't leave any kind of tip. Terrible witnesses for the Lord. Are you hearing it? Oh, I hope you hear it on the radio. And then on Sunday, these loafers must be fed. They don't do anything. They're not committed. They're not involved. Don't want to come to Wednesday, don't want to come to Friday. But boy, on Sunday, these loafers come in and they want to be fed. I'm hungry. What's to eat? And they're always looking around. They are chow hounds, to be sure. Oh, Sunday morning. Oh, how I love Sunday morning. Oh, I'm so hungry. Well, you should be. You go all week long not doing anything for the Lord, communicating not with the Lord, not even a prayer, unless it's something you want. I claim in the name of Jesus, huh? And God isn't in that prayer, so you have no communion with God. And Sunday comes, a lot of the loafers come, and they want to come and eat. And they're on the lookout, like they're looking at different cafes. Oh, what's on the menu today at this cafe? And they'll walk up to the little board there in front. Oh, the message is, oh, that sounds interesting. What are you going to preach about next Sunday? People call me up. What are you going to preach on Sunday? I said, I really don't know. Maybe your coming would change the whole message. Maybe I'd pass out and die right there, and it would be no message. But anyway, they're on the lookout for sermons that will feed their souls. They don't want anything to feed their spirit. Because see, when you get into a spiritual feeding, you get convicted. You get challenged to go to work. You get challenged to get involved. And there's all those kind of things when you're ministering by the Spirit. But they don't want that. They want to hear a soulish, do you know what I'm talking about when I say soulish message? There's a lot of them look spiritual too. And they'll yell, and this is the charismatic group. I come out of it. And they'll yell and scream and knock their wigs off and everything and call that a charismatic. What it is soulishness. Yeah. Let's face it. Let's start telling the truth. Everybody passing out on the stage. Oh, I went down under the power. Wonder how many of them really went down under the power. Oh, how people love to get up there. Then, and I seen them years ago. Used to go, and then a gal or guy would wave their hand. And the whole audience would fall down there. And you know it wasn't for real because somebody would fall on somebody's foot. Get off my foot! Kind of broke in on that spiritual tune there, didn't it? I tell you, there's a whole lot of monkey business going on, and the gospel isn't being preached, and everybody's kind of just getting into soulishness. Are you hearing this? And so they're looking around for something to eat. The thought never occurred to such people that there is more to be done than feeding. Running around with a bib on and a knife and a fork. There's more to be done. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Oh, well, let's go to brother so-and-so. No, let's go over to sister so-and-so. Well, let's go here. Let's go there. Where do you want to eat? What's on the menu today? and they want a melancholy message. You know what I mean by melancholy message? One they can fantasize in. One where words are spoken that they cannot understand. But they sound so good. One they can escape into. They want to get into the message and escape in that message. And one that will leave them with a sort of a sickening grin on their faces, but never challenges them to save souls, pray for people, visit the sick, do some physical labor. Oh, heaven forbid that. And they want to drift around from church to church on cloud nine, filled till the next feeding. Oh, I don't know when I've heard such a beautiful discourse. I am so full, I doubt if I'll be able to eat my chiffon pie with double dipper ice cream and coffee at Perks. Don't worry, you'll find room for it, sis. I'm sure. You're a woman that believes in miracles. You'll find a place for it somewhere. Yes, you will. I hope you folks are getting the gist of what I'm doing here. You listening on the radio there, tape. Running around with a bib on looking for a melancholy message. Maybe one you could cry to. Maybe a story, a discourse where you could cry, where everybody could see you. Boy, you were sure crying. The message really must have hit you, huh? Call. I thought, boy, she's blown her nose about 14 times now. Wow, really got touched, didn't you? Are you hearing this? But they want a melancholy message. How many are hearing this? They want to drift around from here to there and back again while souls go to hell. And they say, no armor for me. Jesus did it all. I don't need to put on any armor. Jesus did the whole thing, and I don't need to put on any armor. No slingshots for me. I don't need any of it. I venture to say there's a whole lot of people that have turned their radios on and off about 14 times because this message is convicting. Oh, yes, it is. It's irritating, it's convicting, and I am getting up underneath people's skin in sort of a sneaky way, a little bit of humor in it, but I'm getting up there, oh, glory to God, and I'm getting in there. Are you hearing this? I hope it gives you a terrible itch. You're on the radio there. Terrible itch to do something. Oh yes, they want to, and they know that they have eternal life. Oh, they know that. Yes, they can smell the rotting multitudes who are dying in their sins, and yes, they know the end is near, and we all know that, don't we? I'm sure you're aware of that, aren't you, ladies? How close we are to the end. And yet people want pleasant things preached to them. They want the fat things. They want the refined things. They want the spiritual festivals. They love sermons and conferences and concerts and coffee houses and teachings. Oh, we are so taught out. Learning, learning, the Bible says, and never coming to know Jesus Christ. Always learning and never coming to know Jesus. Bible reading. Christian movies, faith teachings, prosperity teachings, flights to Israel every year. Going for coffee. Well, I think sometimes we drink so much coffee that we just look like coffee urns walking around with two legs hanging out of it. But service is out. Don't talk to me about being a servant. I don't want to hear it. God just wants me to stay saved. Now they're into works. God wants me to stay saved. He saved you. Now you want to stay saved? How do you do that? Do you do you strap yourself to a cross? I mean, what do you do to stay saved? God just wants me to stay saved. Well, do you bury yourself in some cave? How unrealistic are you? Do you get into some kind of a cult where they go up into the mountains? That's all God wants me to do is stay saved. Wow. I think the reason so many argue about eternal security is that they have nothing better to do. But anyway, their salvation is secure, so why keep on fighting? And just like these people with Moses. Hey, we're the chosen people. Why keep on fighting? Hey, let's just, you know, get in here, get in the action here. All these homes are left here and everything. Bring our kids in and just live our life. Why keep on fighting? That wouldn't certainly be a show of faith. You know what? They are satisfied to do nothing. Wouldn't that drive you positively crazy if you didn't do anything? Just imagine, I mean, that takes a lot of work to do nothing, really. Now let's see, now how am I going to get around doing something today? Because I don't want to do anything. Do you know how much energy is expended on doing nothing? Some people try to talk their way around doing something. Do you know people like that? And they'll just talk their way, talk, and they won't do anything. Talkers, but no walkers. Huh? Nowhere are they at home except where they can enjoy themselves. And take things easy. The Bible calls people like that sluggards. Now, we all have our sluggard days. But I'm talking about a professional sluggard. You know a pro sluggard? I mean, that's somebody that can... They walk around like a hot dog. They got the mattress wrapped around their body. And they go out, they carry their mattress with them wherever they go. They're ready to fall out any place they go. Look like a great big hot dog with this mattress wrapped around him, and they're walking down the street. Lazy spiritual bums. How does that sound? Sounds like a few rocks might come my way or a few letters. I don't. Maybe it is not. Maybe my verbiage doesn't fit you quite. Maybe, gee, could you use different words? Well, yeah, I could use great big $14 words, but you wouldn't understand them anyway. And so we got to get to the nitty-gritty, and we got to get down to the point, and we got to irritate folks into getting busy and becoming involved, because it's all a war for all of us and a conquering for all of us in the body of Christ. It's a holy war. And so I call them spiritual lazy bums. They love their beds, but the Lord's fields they leave alone. And this is a sin that's pointed out in the text. If you don't get involved with the battles of the Lord and contend for the Lord and God and for His people, ye do sin against the Lord, the Bible says. And be sure, it says, your sin will find you out. And so the sin of doing nothing is about the biggest of all sins, because it involves most of the others. A person that doesn't have busy hands is going to fall into all the other sins. Now, even a sluggard, he's laying there in his bed, hasn't he got enough ambition to even roll over? In fact, he can't even turn me off because he just doesn't have enough ambition to roll over. It's 1:32, almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon when this is heard, and he doesn't have enough ambition to roll over in his bed and turn me off. Mad as he is, he won't do it. You see, the sin of sitting still while your brethren go to war is the worst. It is an idolatrous self, which gives no love to God, neither does it give it to man. God save us from that kind of laziness. But also this sin is selfishness and very unbrotherly. Gad and Reuben asked to have their inheritance at once. Well, I want what's due to me right now. There's people like that. They want everything right now. And that's a claiming crowd, does the same thing to God. Well, just walk boldly into the throne room of God and say, listen, according to your word and according to your promise, you promise this, I claim it in the mighty name of Jesus, and I want it now. I want it at 3:15. That kind of preaching I'm afraid of. I would never kick open the doors of heaven and say, I claim this in the name of Jesus. Would you? Would you? I wouldn't. I don't care how much they say that. The Bible doesn't talk like that. The Bible says that you have to bear a cross and that there is trials and tribulations and you'll be hated in the house of your friends and all these other ones that we forget about. Right? We want ours now! We want to be in heaven here on earth. There is no heaven here on earth. The only heaven you're going to have is the heaven inside of you. Kingdom of God is amongst us, amidst us, and it's in us. It's at our door. But it's not here on this earth. The kingdom has not come here yet. The kingdom has come to you as an individual, inwardly, but it's not here yet. Ooh. And so they could be comfortable in Bashan on the side of the Jordan. But what about Judah, and how about Levi, and how about Simon and Benjamin and the rest of the tribes? How about the rest of the folks? How about their comfort? How about that they have to go to war? How are they to get their inheritance? But who cares? This is a good spot for us. Hey, first come, first serve. Did I hear someone say on the radio, am I my brother's keeper? Sounds like someone else I know, Cain. Well, yes, it is true. He is not his brother's keeper, but he is his brother's killer. We either keep or kill our brothers. It's a sort of a soul murder you commit, and you commit it by doing nothing. Brothers out there that need help and sisters out there that need help, and you don't lift one finger. You're like that Pharisee. You don't lift one finger, one ounce of prevention, not one ounce of help. That's soul murder. See, we've fallen away from it. We don't know how precious a soul is. I mean, a soul. And I don't care if someone comes in there so cantankerous and mean and I don't want to ever see you again type of thing. They are a soul. Let me wrap this up. Yeah? By doing nothing. What if God asked, who slew all these heathens? That's all, folks. Huh? I mean, who is guilty of their blood? Why are you born again people doing nothing? What if God would ask them questions? But oh, you say, they can conquer the land for themselves. They're doing all right. They're doing okay. They can fend for themselves. Isn't that selfishness? And selfishness is worse when it puts on a religious robe. Oh, that's a terrible selfishness, isn't it? When it puts on a religious robe and it comes prancing about with the garments just 3/16 of an inch off the dusty floor. And they know they could be of some kind of help, and they won't help, will not help, have committed themselves into not helping anybody. See, the sin of sitting still while your brethren goes to war, it is the very worst. Are you hearing this? So much of it. Unselfish kids despised. You ever seen a selfish kid, you know, and you give two candy bars, and the kid takes both the candy bars, and the other kid says, "Hey, took my candy bar!" Shut up. And he eats both the candy bars. Or he wrecks his bike, so he takes his brother's bike and the candy bar. Aren't they despised? Well, we do despise people that are selfish. How do you think God looks at us when we have it within our power to be of some kind of a help in the feeding of the poor, the housing of the poor, or the helping of someone, and we're selfish? Selfish adults, they're despised, aren't they? Ever been around somebody that's totally selfish? I mean, totally selfish? While people around the world starve, while the rich sit on their coins? Aren't these despised people? Do you realize how much wealth there is in this world? And there are people that are going to bed hungry with bloated stomachs tonight? Aren't they a despised people when God sees that? And people are dying, and you see these pictures with flies all over them, and oh my God. How can you out there sit on your coins? It's a wonder that your food doesn't gag you. And I'm talking about people that have, now, even if you have a quarter, you're as bad as the guy has $1 million if you squeeze that quarter. I can send you to hell just as much as $1 million. But I mean, there is untold wealth, and there's people that are hungry. I mean, all over the world, not just in our country. This is the best of the lot. Someone made a joke about Russian women. Said, "Boy, I don't know. Them Russian women, they look pretty rough." I said, "Well, they have to do men's work. They have to get strong." No, there's a whole lot of self-indulgences that the world has when people suffer. Somebody needs to say something about it. Huh? Someone needs to say something about it. Someone come to me and they said, "Are you sure these people really need... Now looky here, you're putting candy bars in them bags. Now everything else that you have in there is real nice and stuff and nutritious, but you're putting candy bars in there. Do you sure they really need it?" I said, "Are you sure you really need your Lincoln Continental out there? I'd like to cut the back end of it off and use it for a grocery mobile. Are you sure you really need that house? You don't need that 10-room house with 5 bathrooms. You really don't need that. You can only use one at a time, right? Sell other four bathrooms and give the money to the poor. And see, I mean, you just got to give them back the ball. Right? Are you sure that you need $350,000 a year to survive? Well, then that brings me right into the next thing, ingratitude. These children of Gad and Reuben would appropriate land for themselves, which they all had fought for. Now, I think Christians of the past have gone through a lot. We need to be grateful for all the Christians, well, Paul and Peter and different Christians down through the centuries, how they carried the word for it and how they carried the Bibles, how they went through all these reformations and went through all of this, you know, Christian upheaval, dark ages, and so on. I think we need to be grateful then and to come out from underneath our bushel basket and so let our light shine, hallelujah. Do you have plenty? You listening on radio? Then share it. But also, it's a sin of untruthfulness. I think the people had pledged themselves, the Bible says, that they would fight till all the tribes had land. Shouldn't we fight till all the people have a loaf of bread? Isn't that covenant breaking? If the people that are called by my name will praise me. Are you a covenant breaker? Has God told you to do something and you've broken that covenant? Do you tithe? Do you give offerings? But then these people pledged to go all the way. They were liars. Right? And you pledged to do a job and the Lord has put you in a job. There's sacrifices that you make all of the time. Ah, believe me, folks. Do you say you're dead to the world but live for money and hoard all you can? Or when you were baptized, you said, I am buried in baptism. But when you came up, you gathered all you could before it sank. What a farce. Did you pledge to do all you could for your church and then hardly ever came? To some, joining a church means nothing. Someone comes to me now and they'll say, well, I heard your radio broadcast and so on like that. You know, I really want to get in. I'd really like to join your church. I says, first of all, let me tell you what that entails. Labor. Work. Come on, I'll take you through the building. I'll show you what you'll be doing. But also, a doing nothing is a hindrance. Isn't that a hindrance when you got somebody around you that won't do anything? Isn't that terrible? And they just won't do it. You're better off without them, aren't you? Just get out of the way, you feel like saying. Probably do say. Isn't that a hindrance? Probably doesn't pray for souls, contributes only his dead body, never works, yet wants the privileges of the church. Is that fair? Of what use is such a person I'm talking about? He sits and hears and sometimes falls asleep and that's all he ever does is take up space, or she. Isn't the joining of a church then a farce? Church members, when they're put to the test, do you want to go to work?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 291. That was part two to nothing. That was a long pause, and we heard nothing. Now, if you missed part one of Nothing, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you'll find Pastor Paul's podcasts. Not all of which are titled Nothing. Now, next Friday's message is worry. So do not worry about nothing. Have a great Mother's Day. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Friday for part one of a worry. Something to think about all week long, isn't it? But nothing to worry about. And God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage, money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.